triple crown for the Diamonds. Australia win the treble.
Yesterday at All Phones Arena, it all happened. Lisa Alexander's girls got the job done. The Netball World Cup is in Australia's hands. We are very excited about it. None more so than Halftime's own netball correspondent guru, Bianca Chatfield, who joins us. Hello, B.
Hello. What a brilliant win by the Aussie girls.
Amazing sort of scenes we saw there yesterday at All Phones Arena, considering what happened in that pool game, B. I was a little bit nervous going into this game. How were you feeling?
Yeah, do you know what? Everyone was nervous going into it. I think that we haven't seen New Zealand perform like that in at least a few years. So everyone in the crowd, there were 16,800, I think, there to watch it. And you could feel that everyone was like, we just don't know what's about to take place. And then the Australian girls walked out onto court and they won 16-7 in that first quarter and absolutely blitzed the Silver Ferns. And the Silver Ferns weren't even playing badly. They just could not compete in that first quarter. And that's what won the Diamonds the game in the end, because the rest of the quarters, New Zealand actually won the last three quarters of the match, but not by enough. And, it was just brilliant.
Now, tell me, how did that happen? That, as you say, 16-7 that first quarter set the game up. The game was effectively over. What did we do differently in that first quarter than perhaps happened in the pool game? What did we learn from the pool game and were able to instill on the court?
Well, we learned that we can't let the Silver Ferns run wherever they want to. We had to put them under a lot of pressure from our goal shooting end when they were in transition, and the girls stepped that up. And then also just their drives. They didn't let the New Zealand zone get in their way. They just drove through it and moved the ball around super quick, as what we've seen the Australian team do for so long. So, it was like the most perfect game plan from Lisa Alexander for the girls, and they went out and executed it without any worries at all.
Any worries at all, and as you say, New Zealand didn't go away, and they won the last three quarters in terms of the breakdown, but it was all over from that first quarter onwards, and you win by five, the girls win by five, the last couple of minutes when they knew it was theirs, could you see a body language changing, they're getting a bit itchy just waiting for that final whistle because they could celebrate?
Well, yes and no, because in the last, there was 2 minutes to go, and I think New Zealand had got it back within four. Nat Medhurst had missed a goal and they'd got the rebound. And then we were thinking, okay, they've got 2 minutes in the pass. That's kind of plenty of time to be able to make it up. And then the ball went all the way down the other end of the court and then they didn't make the most of it. And then so then the Australians got it back in their hands. So with a minute to go and four goals up, I think New Zealand scored one more and that was it. So in that last minute, you could see their faces. More so, I think, relief than excitement. I think they'd felt a lot of the pressure. It was in their home country, this World Cup, and been a huge build-up to it. So they were absolutely wrapped just to be able to walk away and say, yes, that's what we promised ourselves, that we'd get the gold medal at Comm Games and we'd get the World Cup here.
Yeah, it's great to have all those sitting in the trophy cabinet, Netball Australia now, with the win yesterday. It was some great warrior efforts throughout the campaign. We talk about the final yesterday, as we should, being the pressure game that it is. But throughout the campaign, Kim Green and Julia Coletta, I mean, they had really interrupted preparations for this World Cup, B. And to be able to get through like they did and play to the level they did is testament to the fact that they are tremendous warriors for this sport, aren't they?
Oh, they certainly are. And Julia Coletta, we know, played her last game for Australia. And she was in a moon boot in the lead-up to the World Cup. She has terrible knee injuries, like far more serious than what I've ever seen in netball. And also broke her nose in the ANZ Championship Grand Final.
Yep.
So she is just the walking wound. Yet she played such a pivotal role yesterday. And I don't know how she does it. Every time she fell on the ground, I just kind of thought to myself, how is she getting up again? But she just kept doing it. And maybe it's easy when you know it's your last quarter or your last game of netball that you just give it everything that you've got. And yeah, she's certainly one of the warriors. And Kim Green also, had a really hard preparation. She was hardly being able to train with her calf and shin injuries. But she got through too, and she played the best game of the tournament yesterday.
Fantastic effort by the girls. Coletta started four at goal defence instead of Shani Layton. Were you surprised by that? Or was that a matchup issue or just the fact that it was her last game?
No, I think for the tournament, Lisa Alexander in that first New Zealand game, Shani Layton had been so good in the ANZ Championships. They were just trying to find a way to have her on court and to have Laura Geitz, the captain, on court as well, considering they both play goalkeeper in the ANZ Champs. It didn't really work to plan. Shani let Maria run too much, and Maria had an awesome game. So Coletta is the one that always shuts Maria Tutaia down. So it was no surprise that they started with her because they knew that she was Silver Ferns weapon that if you let her get up and about early, she was going to take over that game.
She had her 4 from 8 in the first quarter, I think, and she ended up 38 from 53. So she did her bit, Maria Tutoia. She's a champ. As is Big Seabass down the forward end for the Diamonds. 48 from 51 in the pressure situation like a World Cup final. That's a huge effort from the Big Bass.
Oh, the Big Bass. tall bass,
Big Bass. You know what I mean.
All the Australian shooters shot phenomenally throughout the whole tournament. Even in the game against Wales in the lead-up, Caitlin Thwaites and Erin Ballard shot 33 goals each in one game, and so accurate. So Mark Helder, the specialist coach, has been doing a great job with them all because they just never miss. And it's really hard to beat a team when their goalers don't miss. So I know that, having to play against teams when they're like that, it's just impossible. So good work by the Big Bass.
We do love the Big Bass here on Halftime almost as much as we love you, Bianca. Don't you worry about that. What about the unsung heroes of the campaign for the Diamonds? Who were they?
Oh, I think you look at someone like Kim Rebellion in the centre. So she's only young. She's only in her early 20s. And she just gets the job done. She doesn't stand out. She doesn't take amazing intercepts. But she ran all game against Laura Langman, who's the fittest player in the whole competition. And she just gets it done and just, you know, is the linking player the whole time through that mid-court. And then also, I think, Natalie Medhurst. She only shot, I think, 6 goals for the whole game yesterday. However, she does so much work to distract the New Zealand defenders so we can find Caitlin Bassett under the post. So I think those two girls don't get as much credit as they probably deserve.
Does Lisa Alexander, Halftime Zone Coach of the Year, does she get enough credit in the world of Australian sport?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, she's done a great job. I think people didn't believe that she could come in and coach this team and do what she's done. Everyone questioned her being a coach because she'd never played for Australia before.
Yep.
And, you know, that I believe that doesn't mean you're going to be a great coach if you've played or not. But she came in and she was on a mission to, win Commonwealth Games last year and to win this World Cup. So I think it's awesome that the girls have rewarded her with that. And now we'll see her continue on for another 4 years and see what she can do now.
Yeah, she's building. I heard her talking in the Morning Glory this morning saying she's got a new cycle to work towards now, the 4-year World Cup goal. I've got the Commonwealth Games in Brisbane and then London for the next World Cup, which will be great. What about the other game? We were World Cup champions. It's fantastic. But the third place playoff between England and Jamaica went the way of the English. They'd be wrapped with their performance, wouldn't they?
Yeah, they were wrapped with that. I honestly think Jamaica, they played so tough against Australia in the semi-final to the point where, you know, after a game, how all the girls get in a huddle.
Yep.
A lot of the Jamaican players were just sitting on the ground because they couldn't even stand up. They were that exhausted. And this tournament's been really enormous in terms of workload with 8 games in 10 days. So I think the Jamaicans put it all out there in their semi and they had nothing left yesterday in the playoffs for third and fourth. And I think the English girls were very determined. They played their best netball of the tournament in that game and they probably wish they had found it a lot earlier. But anyway, you know, they've improved their ranking. Jamaica got the third place at the Commonwealth Games, whereas now England have taken over.
It's a great tournament, as you said, in 10 days to put up the sort of the numbers of games and the quality of performances all across the board is a credit to everyone involved. But well done to the mighty Australian Diamonds, World Cup champions. Of course, well done to you too, Bianca, for being a Halftime Zone special correspondent throughout the campaign. We appreciate that very, very much. We look forward to catching up with you very soon.
No worries at all, Half. Thank you.
Bianca Chatfield, she's a legend, as are the Diamonds, World Cup winners for 2015. Back with more after this.